All right, church, we're in Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 10. There's a short little paragraph here in verse 32 through 34. I'm going to read it to you. It says, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise. So this is Jesus telling them he's going to be crucified yet again. He's told them this several times. They never seem to get it. They don't seem to quite understand. Sometimes Peter argued with him the one time, and they don't really understand. And we looked at it a couple weeks ago, but they're afraid to ask him. Like, they don't really want to press that issue too much because it sounds like a little bit of a tough one, and they're not sure what he might say. So they lay off. And in this passage here, it says, sorry, I got something in my throat. It says, they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. So they're amazed and afraid. In fact, it says this often in Mark, that they're amazed, astonished, astounded, those kinds of things. They're just following it. Like, there's no miracle here. There's no sermon. There's no parable. There's no healing. He's just kind of walking along, and they're amazed and afraid just as they follow him. It doesn't say specifically what they're afraid of, although he's already said a few times that, hey, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and they're going to kill me, and they're on a road facing toward Jerusalem, headed that way, so maybe they're afraid of what's going to happen when they get there. They may also be afraid, I'm speculating, it doesn't say, but any guesses as to what they're afraid of would be some degree of speculation. But he just got done telling this rich man, you sell everything you have and follow me. And the guy went away sad, and the first will be last, and the last will be first, and you know, give up everything, turn your back on family, on father, brother, sister, mother, all this. He said some very hard teachings. So maybe they're following him, but they're kind of afraid. What's he going to make us do? They're a little bit nervous, okay? And maybe they're nervous about where they're headed. Maybe they're nervous about him specifically saying he's going to be crucified. It doesn't really say. It says that they're afraid before he reminds them that he's going to be condemned to death. It says they were afraid. That's actually before that. So I don't know if it relates to what he says next. You're not afraid of something that you haven't heard yet, right? So I don't know. And Matthew and Luke have the same passage, but don't mention that they were afraid or amazed or anything. So that doesn't shed any extra light going that way. Okay, but think about it, just looking at it from what is happening and what we can learn from what is happening. On one hand, these are people who are continuing to follow Jesus after he told this rich man that you're going to have to give up everything you have and follow me. And Peter says, yep, we have. We've given it all up and we are following you. And so these guys, whoever this group of people is more than just the disciples. They're following. They're continuing to follow. They have left something behind. Who knows exactly who they were or where they left it behind, but they're continuing to follow Jesus. And they might be a little bit nervous about where he's headed. Wouldn't you be? I would be. And then he says he's going to be crucified. Now, they don't, once again, they don't address it. They don't argue with him. They don't discuss it with him. They don't say, hey, really? Are you talking literally, or is this another one of those parables? They don't ask him. They just kind of go along and listen. And, part of me really wants to see that answer. We want to see the question asked, and we want to see the answer clearly, and then we feel like we can move on. But that's not what these guys have. They've heard Jesus say this a few times in the past. They've been afraid to ask him, or they don't understand it. And in this case, he just kind of tells them, will you follow Jesus even if you don't know where you're headed tomorrow? That is probably an application that we can draw straight out of this little passage. Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. He tells them that. They know the map. They're on the road. They're going to Jerusalem. They know that much. They also know that he says he's going to be killed when he's there. They also know that he just has told people that they're going to have to give up everything they've ever lived for to follow him. But they don't quite understand. They're not, like, surely he's not really going to be crucified. Surely not, right? They don't quite get it. They don't quite understand. They're not sure that. Surely we're misunderstanding something. But they also have a distinct impression that things are going to get very costly very soon. And yet they continue to follow. So are you okay with the mysteriousness of it all? Are you okay with following Jesus with uncertainty? Following Jesus with a sense of doom coming. That might sound odd to you. You want me to tell you, oh, everything's always going to be great if you follow Jesus. And yeah, on one hand, of course it will. He does win in the end, and there's eternal life with him. Absolutely. But on the other hand, he says often, so often, that following him is going to cost you your life, that following him is going to be a costly decision. And so I don't think it's wrong to have a little bit of fear as you follow him. Okay, I don't mean fear like paralyzing fear, anxiety. I don't mean fear and worry that just causes you to fret. I just mean a little healthy dose of recognition that I'm following the living God of the universe. And he demands my whole life. And I've given him my life, and I've prayed, Jesus, have my life, take my life. I know I've been crucified with him. I know I no longer live, but I also know that I've got a lot of selfishness living inside of me. I also know that I have a lot of sin that really likes to hold on tight and claw back and temptations. And I know all this stuff lives inside of me. And I'm a little bit worried about what the next step of this process of discipleship is going to uncover. And am I going to stay faithful to the end? Am I going to stay faithful even when it gets hard? Or am I going to try to fall back onto plan B? Paul wrote about this feeling in the book of Philippians, chapter 1. He said, verse 21, a well-known verse, he says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." But he also tells them, you know, I don't want to be put to shame in anything. He's concerned that somehow in the course of being imprisoned and persecuted and house arrest for the gospel, that somehow he's going to lose his fire, that somehow he's going to lose his conviction, that he's going to slowly fade away and compromise in some way. He doesn't want that. He says, I don't want to be put to shame in any of this. These people following him, they want to follow him. He's not forcing anybody, but they're also a little nervous because they know that they're following God. And you should be a little nervous. Yes, you run to him. You come to him with boldness. Yes, you've been adopted into his family. You're no longer a spirit of slavery leading to fear. You're a spirit of freedom, right? We have all of this great joy and great boldness. But we also know we're following God. God demands it all. God's 100% holy. And he demands all of me. And I know I'm not worthy to be here. Every minute I'm with him is his grace. So in on that sense, I don't have any reason to fear because his grace is infinite. He's God, and I have no reason to fear. But on the other hand, I have a lot of reason to fear because I recognize that I'm a sinner and I don't deserve to be here. So that's what I see when I read this. It says that they're amazed. Those who followed were afraid. He's going to his death. He's asking us to follow him, all right? He doesn't promise every step of the journey is easy and fun. He says you're going to have many tribulations, okay? So don't fear some sort of paralyzing thing that is going to stop you and hold you back and that you're going to lose your salvation and that you're too evil and too sinful and all this condemnation. Don't do that. Don't do that. But do recognize, have a healthy understanding of his great reverence and hold him in reverence in your life because he's God. You're following God. You're not just following a man. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Follow him. Follow him with a spirit of joy and recognize that you need his grace at all times because you don't deserve to be there. Praise the Lord. I'll talk to you tomorrow some more. We'll get farther.